That finger seems to be bleeding a lot. Hello and welcome to this week's Urgent Bite, brought to you by the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. My name is Guy Melrose, and today we look at how best to tourniquet a finger. So I'd like you all to imagine this scenario. It's the first thing in the morning. Your first patient of the day has come from the meatworks and, having got up a bit too early, forgotten to have their coffee, they were a bit sleepy when they started work and ended up slicing through their non-dominant index finger with a very sharp knife. And they've tied it up with a bit of gauze and a bit of duct tape and have come to you to get it assessed. And when you take off this dressing, it just starts to hose blood, and you need to get control of the bleeding in order to assess the wound and determine the treatment. So what are your options when dealing with a bleeding finger? And to answer that question, or to discuss that question, welcome our Director of Clinical Training, Dr. David Sorrell. Dave, what would you do in this scenario?
So in this sort of scenario, which is quite a common scenario, you want to be able to assess and explore the wound adequately. And so you probably need some kind of digital tourniquet, remembering that you have to do some sort of assessment before you can apply a digital tourniquet to check for neurovascular compromise. And often you'll provide a digital anesthesia with a digital nerve block and then apply a digital tourniquet. So what are your options that are out there? Most of us use all sorts of different devices for it. There are some commercial devices. In New Zealand, there is one called the T-ring tourniquet, which is a wonderful device but does come at a cost. And so you'd have to explore whether your service can provide these commercial tourniquets. If not, what could you use? And there are a couple of little tricks that can be very useful. One is called the glove tourniquet. And in this scenario, you get a small digit from a glove that could be latex or non-latex. However, I would have to say that some non-latex gloves tear when you try to do this. And basically, if you cut off the smallest or second smallest finger and apply the excised glove onto the finger, snip the end and roll it down, you usually can gain very good homeostasis or hemostasis without traumatizing the digit. And that brings us to some of the research that's been done about digital tourniquets. And there was an original paper that we can link to in the show notes, which talked about commercial devices, the tourniquet, the T-ring, the glove tourniquet, with clamp, and the pinfold strain, which is very similar to like a rubber band. And this study showed that a lot of the non-commercial devices can cause damage because the pressure could be too high.
So that would be my first kind of question here, is that what you're wanting to stop bleeding. So what's wrong with just putting an elastic band around, pulling it tight, putting on a pair of artery forceps on the band so it's nice and tight, finger goes nice and ischemic. If you're only doing that for 5 minutes whilst you assess the wound, what damage is that going to cause, given that surgeons will put arms under ischemia for hours for surgery?
So you have to remember that this is very localized pressure. So it's not like a large tourniquet applied to the upper arm, and pressure matters. So it's been shown that pressures over 300 millimeters of mercury at the digit can cause injury to the neurovascular bundle, so the artery or the nerve. And so it's not recommended to have pressures of that nature. And so this study was done to look at the pressures that are exerted by the different tourniquet techniques. And obviously, this is probably industry-led, and so the commercial tourniquets fared very well. But what also it showed is that the simple glove tourniquet usually provided adequate and safe pressure. And so that's why that is an easily available option for providing digital tourniquet. The other thing that's important is that there have been lots of cases where loss of digit has occurred, or digital ischemia, because you forgot to take the tourniquet off. So my reminder is always, if you put a tourniquet on, you take the tourniquet off. Don't rely on someone else to remove it. It should be the first thing and the last thing that you do.
So there are two take homes really from this. The first is, it's not a case of any pressure to stop the bleeding. We should be aiming for under 300 millimeters of mercury, which obviously we can't measure. This study used particular equipment to measure that. But they were able to determine that the rolled glove technique that you've described comes under 300. And in your experience, is that a suitable technique to stop bleeding of my patient there from the meatworks who's sliced the tip of their finger? Is it going to stop the bleeding?
In the vast majority of the cases, it is. Sometimes you could use a clamp to slightly increase the pressure, and there are ways to do that very, very carefully. But I guess you reduce the risk by not using that all the time. And if you can use the glove that's rolled and it works well, then that's all you usually need. And the situations where I've used it 9 times out of 10 at least, the rolled glove, the rolled finger glove technique has worked very, very well.
So you're getting the effect of hemostasis without the local damage to the neurovascular structures. And that's obviously the aim of the game. The paper is called Comparison of Pressures Applied by Digital Tourniquets in the Emergency Department, and we'll link to it in the show notes. It came out in 2011 in the Western Journal of Emergency Medicine. The other point, Dave, that you mentioned was leaving the tourniquet on. Now, some of those commercial products that you mentioned are quite obvious, and that's one of their benefits, is that you would struggle to go home with it on. So if you've used the roll glove technique and you've successfully completed your procedure, how do you remember to take it off? Because it's one of those things that can easily slip through the Swiss cheese and the patient goes home with it still on. So how what are the best ways to avoid that?
So we talked about the clamp. So another little trick that can be really useful is, once you roll the digit down, the glove down, you attach a small mosquito clamp to the base of the glove, and then you leave that there. And so you're not going to leave the clamp on. It will be an instant reminder that I have to remove this tourniquet before, and basically you take it off before you even apply the dressing, because that way you've usually completed your procedure. And the procedure I'm usually doing is when the nail is avulsed and you have to reimplant the nail. I find it very useful to use the glove tourniquet. And once I've trefined the nail and reimplanted it and glued it back in, I immediately remove the tourniquet, and then the nurse can dress it at their leisure, but I know the tourniquet is off.
So the key thing is to give yourself a visual reminder. You're using the mosquito forceps as a kind of a visual reminder. They're not a pressure, you're not amping up the pressure with them, because the study did show that if you use the ring technique and then apply some clamps over that, you are increasing it over that 300, aren't you? So you're just using it as a marker, not as a tightener.
Yeah, and if you are going to use a mosquito to tighten it because you're not finding you're getting enough of a tourniquet, if you rotate it only 180 degrees, not 360 degrees, you will apply less pressure. So that's one of the tricks that you can do to slowly increase the pressure. It's important that pressure matters, so don't increase the pressure at all cost. Only use that if you really need to.
Now we're going to try something a little bit new. We're going to record a short video clip, which we will link to in the show notes, which will take you to the college YouTube page, which will have you demonstrating a few of these little techniques, just in case your verbal description hasn't painted a good enough picture. People can see what we've been talking about regarding the gloves and the different little rolling techniques. So you can follow that in the show notes along with a link to the original paper. And then just remember the two take-home points were: you can do a tourniquet too tight, even if you're only getting it on for a few minutes, and you mustn't ever leave a tourniquet in place. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
So follow the links in the show notes to the paper and a video that we have recorded in which Dave shows the methods he has just described. It is important that we are not just focusing on the time that a digital tourniquet is on, but also the pressure exerted on the delicate structures. So make sure you have a read. And I've also linked to a blog post by Academic Life in Emergency Medicine, which also explains the technique very well too. Now, if you have any comments, questions, suggestions or corrections, email podcast@rnzcuc.org.nz. And we'll be back again next week with another podcast. I look forward to seeing you all then. But for now, thanks for listening.